Love sound effects. Shout out to sound effects.
shout out to sound effects.
Yeah. Auga. Auga.
We're ready.
I am Philip.
I'm Matt.
First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our rimfather.
Now it's time for next at bat.
And we're here today with Polar Bear Centric. Hi, hey. Polar Bear Centric.
Hey.
Oh.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing all right.
We're good.
Are we good?
Are we good?
We're great.
I think we're good.
That's good.
Feeling good.
Can you guys introduce yourselves, please?
I'm Pat Tracy.
And I'm Chris Hill. Christopher Hill.
Patrick Tracy.
John Tracy. Patrick John Tracy.
Christopher
Joseph Hill. You didn't know my middle name.
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. I knew it was a J.
Yeah, because we lived together when we were kids, like in college, and all of us in the apartment had CJ or PJ or AJ.
Did you guys call each other that?
I think it lasted for a day.
It was just a fun thing to discover.
Like we discovered that we were all like
AJ, CJ, PJ,
and
TJ.
We all bought Power Ranger suits that year, and we dressed as Power Rangers. You were the yellow one.
Nice. Kimmy.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, you
went with it. As always, I'm here today with
Philip Michael Simondet.
Hey.
And your host
is Matthew David McLeod.
Awesome.
Such plain middle names.
No, it's absolutely beyond Midwestern. That's everybody true. At the table here. Everybody.
I don't get to be a PJ, but my initials are PMS.
Oh, nice. Ooh. Dude. I like that. That's fun.
So, Polar Bear Centric, how long have you two guys been working together? It sounds like you've known each other for quite a long time. In fact,
yeah,
we were talking a little before the show, and
we all went to the same high school.
We all went to the same high school.
Yes, we did.
Except for Philip.
Well, you didn't.
No.
What high school?
Green Durham Hall. It's a block and a half away from where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, that's where Chris and I met. We basically cultivated our friendship. Being on the improv team there.
Correct.
Started when we were 14, so we've basically been working together for half our lives.
Yeah. Wow. It was pretty fun. I don't know. It's been okay.
You don't know. It was,
The improv program's run by, it had Brave New Workshop people come through there, and they were our coaches, so.
That's great.
Yeah, and it was, really eye-opening. I mean, it sent me on a path that I'm still on right now, I guess. I don't know.
We're here. We're podcasting.
We're podcasting with you guys right now.
They did not have an improv program when I was there. So somewhere in between those 7 years.
Yeah. Well, it would have been, we started in 97, 98.
Yeah.
That was our freshman year.
Okay.
So it was new then. Katie Kreitzer is the theater director there. And was she there when you were there?
It was her first year, was my senior year.
Oh, okay. So working
as
and
theater
all that.
Director.
Yeah. Okay. Right on. So yeah, it's definitely grown leaps and bounds from where it started there in 94, because she started in 93 or something. I don't remember.
As a teacher, I believe she started in 93.
Yeah. We went to high school together, did improv together,
ended up in great.
Yeah, it was great. It was. I mean, you just I don't know to do that at such a young age. I look at the Wonder Kids and these kids that get the opportunity to like just even perform and know and like get a little inkling into what you get to do as an improviser, if you call yourself that. Mm-hmm. And it's a blast.
Totally.
I don't know.
Yeah, and just to go on that, just having the teachers that we did when we were in high school, Matt Craig was so fun.
He was on
and
main
really,
stage at Brave New Workshop at that time.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and he was really, I think, really helped.
I mean, it's everything. Kim Schultz started us, but, you know, we were dough balls then, not the chiseled senior improvisers that we turned into in high school.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
What was it back then that, even back then, that drew you to improvisation? And I'm guessing with Brave New Workshop, they were teaching long form from the get-go, so it wasn't gamey or anything.
It starts gamey. It started gamey, and then it
the
sort
first
of
first 3 years it was all short form games, and then
oh, was it?
Yeah,
interesting.
I think between 94 and 97 it was more comedy sports, because I know that they were teamed up with Central High School, and they were mm-hmm. there were other people that were, I don't know the history of that either, but I know that that's how it started. And then Brave New Workshop, it came with Kim Schultz mm-hmm. and Katie Kreitzer were friends, so that's how that happened. And yeah, by senior year, we were writing, you know, sketches. We were, I mean,
attempting,
long form. I mean, of course,
we never did it for a show, but
yeah, I mean, it was all montage. I mean, they just taught us. I mean, Matt just taught us montage. That's what basically, remember. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what else do you need besides montage? I don't know.
And park bench.
And park bench. and party.
Yes, celebrity party.
Emotional party.
They were some good games. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what it was though about improv versus like scripted theater that attracted you like back as a high school student?
I've never been one to plan or provise. I don't know. I work at Creighton Durham Hall now, and I go right. back there, and people tell me that I didn't do my homework, and that's the truth because I didn't. I just wanted to make it up as I went along. So half of my homework assignments were, you know, made up songs or made up sketches sure. from the very beginning, you know, yeah. from the get-go, or they turn into videos or that kind of thing. I mean, Mike, mm-hmm. like Mr. Main would always tell me that I never did anything, but I just would do it on the day of.
Love Mr. Main.
Oh, yeah, right? He's not there anymore. He left.
Oh, that's too bad. You know, Jill Bernard talked about how before she found improvisation, she tried all these things and she kept not quite fitting in to, you know, for one reason or another into each of these different, you know, whether it's an academic field or whether it's a job or whatever. Then she found improvisation where it was just everything that she was good at. It was it that sort of feeling?
I think there was kind of a feeling there where it just, maybe it's because we started so early, but it immediately felt like, yeah, this is ours and we belong just own here.
It. I mean, we've owned
and
it
even
since
opposed to
we
just like
seventh,
scripted theater, yeah. I felt much more at home.
I did my fair share of theater. I have a theater yeah. degree. I mean, mm-hmm. I went to school for acting.
Right.
And that's fine and has been good for me. I spent a lot of money to not get paid for anything at yeah. all, ever. But the jazz of improv, the art of what happens when it's just Pat and I and nothing planned.
It's magical.
It's, yeah, I don't know. It's and to have like the sort of the stream of how long we've known each other, and so we have. I mean, there's. I just think it's easy. It comes very easy to us too. I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the two of us don't have a hard time improvising with each other. So I think
it's kind of ingrained into our friendship.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a constant.
Where it can't not be there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. literally can't not be there. I think about it now. It's like, I'm going to keep name dropping here. TJ Jagodowski says he cannot not improvise. Right. He has to improvise. That's all he can do. And it's like, I don't think I could not do this. I mm-hmm. talked to my wife about, you know, it's like, oh, I got this, life's in the way, baby, blah, 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 all these things, work, you know, work-life balance, all that. It's like, I could not do the art of improv. I mean, that's, I can let go of plays, mm-hmm. scripts. I could let go of the rehearsal process and lights, camera, action. I could let that all go. But improvising, even if it's for just you and I over barbecue from right. West Tennessee
mm-hmm.
or West, where was it?
West, it was West Tennessee.
West Tennessee. I just think that it's ingrained in us.
Agreed. Sissy high five. that was very foppish.
Sorry.
No, that was good. I had to cough, and so I turned it into a laugh. So,
oh, I'm coughing.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like yawns.
Yes.
So you guys have been working together for 15, 18 years, something like that?
Yeah, I mean,
off
would say.
Off and on for 16 years.
Right.
Okay.
I would say the polar bear centric thing came into solid rock about 3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So, as
Williams Peanut Bar in the basement.
As a duo, that's when you decided to start working as a duo.
Yeah, we had never done a duo show that I can remember of before that,
right.
And
we just were roommates in college. That's what we were.
Yeah, and I had moved back here. Chris was already here for another year or two before that, mm-hmm. and it was just something that
It just happened. As far as
I can recall, we just kind of wanted to get back into it. Right. And
I had done some Brave New Workshop classes, and they were fine. I don't think
you
I...
You were teaching at that point, too.
So I was, yeah, I was teaching the improv program at Creighton Durham Hall. So, I mean, I was looking to try to not be a poser to these kids, because I hadn't gotten back into it, but I'm standing in front of a bunch of 14, 15, 16-year-old kids going, hey, improv is a thing, and then, like, not going home and not doing it at all.
Right. Yep.
So... there is a comedy cage match,
wasn't it like fundraiser a thing? For the Japanese earthquake.
Yeah, it was a tsunami, and somebody put it together at Brave New Workshop and
at the student union.
Yeah,
and we got a slot in it and had
10 minutes. 10 minutes, not even. I think they blacked us out after 7, which was really it cut us on a really high note.
Thank you to the lights. Thank person. You.
Yeah, that was wonderful. But yeah, it was 10 minutes long, and then.
We started applying for like Improv A Go-Go, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll just throw our name in the hats, and we've done Huge right. Wednesdays a couple times.
Right,
now.
Huge Theater has been our, I mean, they've just, that theater has the attitude that mm-hmm. you want for a long form, and just to
be open to anything where you're like, yeah, right. Sure, we'll try and fit you in.
Right, and so for the last couple of years, that's been home base, and just they've been very helpful, Butch and Jill and Nels and yeah. Molly, who else? Mm-hmm.
Those are the board.
Yeah. That is everybody. That's everybody right
and,
there.
And then all of the volunteers. And
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Which Matt is going to name individually.
Go right now. Go right now.
There's 240. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So I just cut back. What? I did them, then edited it out.
For our listening audience, Matt did list everyone by name, but we had to cut it for time.
Because I missed one.
Yeah. Right. It's actually midnight now.
Let's see. Have you performed other places too? Did you find other niches? Because I know that you were at the Twin Cities Improv Festival for the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this last year, you guys were the talk of it. Like, you guys had an incredible set. A lot of people, like, that's when you kind of got on their radar. As like, that set...
That Thursday night,
a lot of people
it was
really
all
liked it.
It was all local duos, or was it duos that night, or was it just local night at the Improv
duos.
Festival?
There's the one the
first
week.
Yeah, we were with it. Was it just duos?
I don't think it was all duos, because I think that was For Better or For Worse also.
That's right. Yeah, I don't remember now.
Well, maybe not. Maybe For Better or For Worse.
I mean, I don't know. I was so jazzed to do that show. I just came out like a cannon, man. It was just like
it felt really good.
Yeah, screaming and yelling. And then that was the first time I saw the ladder on the back of the wall there.
And you guys used it.
Oh, man, now it's a crutch. I try not to use it. It's like I get stuck up there.
We've had talks about the
ladder. Yeah, it's like every show we got to do like a stupid scene where I'm in a tree. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. We got to get out of this. My biggest thing these days is trying to realize what my crutches are and mm-hmm. get out of that sort of, you know, BS hiding behind the curtain, hiding behind the wall, or, you know, running, up, you know, and being more open to seeing what happens when you don't go to the place that you're comfortable, or put yourself mm-hmm. somewhere where, you know, letting it sort of be open to other ideas other than doing another up a tree scene.
Sure.
But to answer your question, we really have only been exclusively improvising together for, I mean, these past few years, it's just been you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I did lots of improv in Chicago and had mm-hmm. friends there, but...
it's such a hard scene. I don't know. It's big.
It's big.
I feel
it's
like this city made it really easy for us to jump in and just start performing.
Mm-hmm. Like, we had this idea. Here it is. Let's go out there and try it. And we've been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just been you and me for a long time. And now I'm going to be doing Throwback Night in November and December at Huge.
Cool.
And we've had a couple of rehearsals for that. And it is an adjustment not to just be one of two people on the stage and learning quirks of, you know, 9 other people.
Yeah.
When I've got you down like the back of my hand.
You do have me down by the... Well, that's the other thing. It's like we've been doing it for so long. It's like...
Yeah.
I can put something on a tee and I know Pat will hit it, or I know Pat will miss at it, and that will be the funnier thing that will have happened. He can.
We've got you are
the in between ball coach pitching to me, and I am your in between ball coach pitching to you.
You heard it here first.
Lobbing
folks.
It at each other.
Like, yeah, built in trust. It's really nice.
It's yeah. If you can get it.
So how do you guys push each other? Do you push each other to kind of continue to try new things and kind of step out of that comfort zone? Or is it kind of more of an internal focus for you guys?
I mean, we'll talk after shows just kind of about what worked and what didn't.
I mean, we always know when it doesn't work. We'll come off and go, oh, well, we swung and missed there. But that I mean, we're never up down on it. Mm-hmm. Come back the next week. Always realized that we should have rehearsed before we went on stage. That's usually what we've learned from, you know, the when we talk, it's like, oh, well, we probably should have gotten together before we got up on stage, because it always helps. There's no reason not to do that.
We've never had a coach in place or anything. Okay. So it's always been Chris and I kind of critiquing our own work. Right. Rehearsals are really just, you know, dry show runs and then talking about them and taking it from there, I guess.
Which makes it, I don't know, it kind of feels punk rock to me a little bit. I don't know. I like music, Pat, and I like music. I think our friendship's probably based more on music than it is on improv, but the improv is just an extension. So I think there's a camaraderie when it comes to other things besides improv, so that, you know, we just like hanging out with each other. I think that's part of it.
We sure do.
Yeah, we do. Why are you looking at me like that? Why are you looking at me like that? Don't look at me like that. I'm tired of this. I'm leaving.
I'm trying to think of sometimes that we've pushed each other. It's, I guess the latter thing is one thing we've noticed, that, you know, we get into a rut of, I guess another thing about being in two-person shows is that, I guess maybe it's just, this could be a universal thing, maybe just Chris and I, when you have a lot in this in a row, you have a tendency to do
the same
scenes
thing.
That feel really similar, and trying to correct that, you need to
absolutely
just be cognizant of what you're doing.
Well, it's like the up a tree thing. It's like all of a sudden I realized that we had done a bunch of scenes about somebody up a tree and somebody on the ground screaming at them to do something. And not that that's not funny, but
when it's consecutive,
when it's been three huge Wednesdays in a row,
yeah,
it's
you've
like
got a
oh,
solid
God.
Month of tree scenes.
And which actually would be kind of funny if you want to do a whole run a tree, like, up a tree. Call it high low or something like that.
Why not just tree scene?
Tree scene. That sounds like a chemical that would be released in a rocket. Like, oh, the tree scene has gone off. Thousands of people will die. Tree scene.
We must go up there.
Go up there. I just think you just got to be. I think Pat and I I think we're pretty thoughtful as to what happens on stage and towards each other.
Yeah.
And I think if you're an open book sort of, and you have the friendship sort of thing.
Which
at
we
the
do.
Bottom of
Which
it,
we do.
I don't have a problem telling Pat when we're stuck, and it feels like we're stuck, and I don't think he has a problem telling me that either. Obviously, I mean, we're on the inside, and so everything's kind of internal. And if there was somebody else on the outside watching in, I mean, it would be a whole different thing. I think there's two. I mean, somebody else would. Right, it would change the dynamic totally. Not that.
We really like it being two sweaty 30-somethings.
Yeah, just hugging and licking each other for
about 20 minutes and then sweating for the last five.
Yeah. Cool down is what I would like to call that.
It's like the cool down session of our shows. Just feels right.
Yes, it does.
Have you guys thought about doing anything more formal? Like to do some sort of form or... mess around with things.
The forms. Putting the lens on it is fun. I think the lens that we've created is more fun.
I think we really relish in the utter lack of structure that we have.
Because then you can go anywhere or do anything kind of deal. If you're stuck in sort of this, we're gonna do this, and you gotta follow that pattern. Then you're in your head thinking about how I'm gonna follow that pattern. Where really, I get out of my own way, and Pat makes my jokes good, and I make Pat's jokes okay.
Yeah, I feel like if we had structure or worked with another form, I feel like it wouldn't be polar bear centric. It'd be a whole different project.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And I, yeah. then really, then we could then we would rehearse that and see where it went and if it would even be worthy of putting on the stage.
Right.
I think that.
But for now, I think we're pretty happy.
Yeah, just trucking along, nose to the grindstone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. And I think it was Butch, who Roy from the executive director of our Tooch Theater. We have to say that.
No. I mean, this is not title, please. This is not just for the improv community here.
Right.
It's going to the World Wide Web.
Hopefully,
series of tubes running above us, shooting information.
Do you know that the number of people who have liked the Facebook page on ours is almost our friends combined?
That's real friends or Facebook friends? I love
Facebook
that.
Friends,
Facebook
which
friends?
Is way more
yeah,
than
right.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
if it was real friends, we don't want to talk about multiples.
Well, it's just me. It's actually just me, my wife, and Pat. That's like my friend group, really. My son. Like,
got one more.
Because my sisters, that's a whole different thing. They're not my friends. They're my sisters.
Family can't be friends.
No. I keep them at an arm's length. I'm just kidding. I love you, Therese Clarinan.
Shout
love
out
you,
to
love
the
you,
Hill
love
family.
You, love you.
From an arm's length away.
From an arm's length away. Don't you dare enter my circle.
But Butch has talked about how he would love to see more just like montage, more straight, like old school, good scene work rather than trying to play with stuff and have the form be the star. Have good scene work be the star.
Well, I mean, isn't that the who, what, where? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing?
Right.
It's the first three lines. Get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Have the relationship. Let the relationship and the emotional life of the characters you're playing mm-hmm. be the thing that drives you. The love for two brothers running an Italian pie shop. That's what the scene's about. It's not necessarily about what's going on in the environment.
Yeah, I feel like when you have a show that has a really, a narrative built in, something like, Star Trek, Star Wars, anything like that. I haven't done anything like that, but it feels like it would kind of pigeonhole you character-wise.
I know I would be I know that I would.
Maybe I would just be mentally.
Well, I would just be in my head. I know that I would be thinking about it.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I think those are really fun shows, and I think it gets people's attention to come see improv, which is always awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be also great to have shows that you can just go and see a whole bunch of groups like Polar Bear Centric that are just
just like us,
just here and
or why not you guys?
Wow!
Hey. This is our calling.
Oh, hey, here we are.
I think it's on its way.
Right.
I really think.
Well, I mean, in the last three, Huge has been only open for 3 years now. They
not
just,
even.
Just celebrated their
2 years,
two and change. Mm-hmm. It's like.
It's still forming its identity.
Right.
Like it can. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you go to other theaters in other towns, and they've been going for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 70 years. I mean, and so the improv identity or the sketch identity or the comedy identity has already been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you go to Chicago, you know what you're going to get at I.O., Second City, Annoyance.
Right.
There's going
to
be a
You go
a
to UCB
vibe.
In New York, you know what you're going to. I mean, that's
yeah.
what it is.
They have like a trademark.
But and there's sort of that Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, Brave New Workshop's been around for 70 years, and so there's mm-hmm. sort of that. That's the undercurrent. But I think, especially at Huge Theater, who have embraced us as this sort of duo, Polar Bear Centric. They've allowed us to just sort of not have the form, and that's been.
Oh yeah, they encourage they encourage it, do good scene work.
Right,
like have fun. Here's your slot.
Right.
Do what you want with it. Dude.
Seriously.
Oh, and we have.
Well, are we talking about January and February yet?
We are now.
Yeah, we are now.
What's
We're doing Friday nights at 9:30 in January and February.
Fantastic. Clear your calendars, Internet.
Clear your calendars. But we got 45 minutes, and it's like.
That's awesome, guys.
We'll see what 45 minutes does to the PVC sprint. I mean, I don't know. We sprint. We don't. We've always had the attitude
I think we take pride
ground,
on
sweating and running and jumping. And
so even if our scene work is inconsistent, people can see
right,
they saw a high energy, entertaining show.
Yeah.
By week three, they'll still black you out at 7 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see you at the bar. Yeah.
Like, we'll be on stage like, oh, thank God.
Oh, God.
They cut us high.
I didn't feel good about that one. I'm glad we got out now. Who's going to McDonald's for Mighty Wings? I went the other night. They were good.
Did you finally have the Mighty Wings?
I did.
Chris has been really high on these Mighty Wings, what? And that wasn't after Hines, our last...
High Mighty Wings?
Yeah.
I bought 10 of them.
You ate them all?
I ate 6.
How big are they?
They're really
big.
So
you were blacked out at 7?
Yeah, they were really big. Oh! Yes!
And now's the time in our show where I throw the microphone over to Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Philip's Corner. It's Philip's Corner!
Yes. Ooh, that was tight.
Yeah.
That's tiggity.
Welcome to Philip's Corner.
Thank you.
This is the part of the podcast where it's been 22 minutes and I haven't hardly said anything, so now I ask the questions.
Okay. Ooh.
This is how it works. I stare at you awkwardly and then I think of a question. Christopher.
Yes.
Where do you draw... The end. Where do you draw?
Where do I draw?
Yeah, do you ever draw?
I mean, I doodle in notebooks constantly. Constantly. I'm always doodling something. I'm sure there's some Freudian reason behind it. Some arrested feelings deep, deep down. Because I'm always like doing circles like and like face it. Like when I was a kid, I did like the Simpsons. I got really good at doing the Simpsons eyes. Like drawing the Simpsons eyes and their nose. But everything else, it's like nothing else. So like you got the Simpsons face, like really good eyes, really good nose. But then the doodle like always turns into like sort of like a Mohawk chicken looking. I mean, it looks like a kid did it.
So you're only good at circular things.
Oh yeah, I'm yeah.
You're really good at that one cartoon.
Oh
guy
yeah, the guy that
over a ledge.
The guy that puts his nose over the ledge and then his four fingers are there too, and like his eyes are staring up and over.
Every part of that is round.
Besides the line, but the line is usually on the page already.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where I draw, doodling there. I doodle a lot while I'm watching the high schoolers that I teach do improv, just because I can't stop moving usually because I'm so jacked on coffee.
Sure.
I mean, seriously, it's like, you know. So that like they look at my notes and they're like, what are you taking notes on?
You look like you're, I don't know, so intently scribbling.
Yes, yes. And then then I say, you know, I say nice things about their scene, or you know, sort of ambivalent, like no real. I don't ever commit to anything that I say to the high. Yeah, it's so good.
There's no sharp corners.
Oh gosh, you guys are so round. It's the roundest scene I've ever seen. Congratulations. And they're like, oh, I did a round scene. Awesome. Am I molding minds of the next generation of improvisers?
Meanwhile, your right hand is like pulling a shining.
Yeah, I'm
moment.
Drawing aquarium with yeah. Like,
it's the ring.
Yeah. Yes. I use Bic ballpoint pens too.
Shout out to Bic.
Shout out to Bic.
Damn it!
Whole case of pens coming
paper
your way,
made
Chris.
Is one of our sponsors.
Oh God! I hate those. I hate they're too thin for me.
Bleep it out later.
You're not our sponsor anymore.
Oh boy.
Patrick.
Yes.
I ruined everything, sorry. You had a lot of money going in the pen.
Pen.
There's an art to this guy, seriously.
I'm on board. We're always on board.
You good at math?
I think I'm especially good at your basic math. Like, your
how basic? Like addition?
Addition. We're talking subtraction.
I can add things.
I've got these multiplication things. Tables down like that.
Ooh, multiplicate even.
If we're talking trig or calculus, I was horrible at those in school. I was not a very good person at advanced math. But if you need a tip calculated or...
Oh, yeah.
Figuring out how many miles you need to get to somewhere. I don't know. That I'm your man.
If you leave Madison at such and such time.
Yes.
What Those time will you arrive in Fargo, North Dakota?
The answer's always noon. High noon.
High noon. Always going to be there.
Really good at math.
Really good at math.
And telling time.
Yes. From the sun.
Yeah.
How are you at fractions?
Pretty good. I would say I'm good at fractions, converting them to decimals. I'm really good at guessing what the decimal would be.
Approximating.
Approximating, yes. What 3/8 would be in a decimal.
What is that?
Oh boy.
Boom. Ooh, on the spot.
On the spot.
You don't have to. Edit. You guys can. He did that, didn't he?
Yeah.
It would be halfway between 25 and 50%.
Boom. Okay, for, so you're for our limiting
37.5.
Limiting?
0.375.
Wow, good for you.
Thanks.
What about you?
Thanks.
For our listening audience, Pat just recited pi to 1,000 decimal points, but we had to cut it for time.
Sorry, guys.
You love pi.
I do.
I love pi, too.
Yes, I will start a podcast with just me reciting the numbers of pi. It'll go on conjunction with your Creighton Durham Hall podcast.
Sound like Lost. Just like constant stream of numbers. Never mind. Sorry.
That's a reference that was beyond me.
Beyond you? Really?
I haven't rewatched Lost in a while. Cut me some slack.
Oh, okay.
He's still watching through the 2000
right. year. He doesn't have TV HBO show. Go. That's the problem.
Yeah, he's excited for the West Wing at this point.
Love me, my Sorkin.
I love you, Aaron Sorkin. I thought Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip was one of the greatest shows ever, 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 ever. Matthew Perry was so good on that show. I mean, everybody was good. Who else? Bradley, what's his butt?
Bradley.
So good. I mean, everybody.
Whitford.
Yes, thank you. I mean, just what a wonderful show. Yeah. And not that 30 Rock couldn't have the light. 30 Rock's a great show, too. Sure. I love 30 Rock, but... There's something about the drama behind the comedy.
Yeah.
Way into that.
Sports Night.
Sports Night, yeah.
Also very good.
MZ, we have buddies who are into that. Official. You asking more questions? I'm sorry.
Let's do one more question. Okay. But you have to answer it at the same time.
Okay.
Ooh.
If you were to write a hit sitcom for NBC, what would it be called?
Candy's
Jewels.
Candy's Jewels.
It's about
Chris's mother.
It's about my mom and
Chris's the jewel. Mom is named Candy.
Yeah. It would star us.
Yeah.
and
everyone else.
And nobody else. My mom would be in it too.
Polar Bear Centric presents
Candy's Jewels.
and in the first episode, all of her jewelry gets stolen.
Yep.
It's Polar Bear Centric's job to recover each
it
of
out,
the pieces.
Man. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which every episode, you get a lead
get
on
one
a new piece.
Gem.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is a great show. I'm into it. I'd Hulu that whole thing, man. I'm
booking our flight to Hollywood right
Seriously,
now.
Seriously, right?
Getting a pitch session going.
Pitch session. Fever pitch.
Nick Hornby.
Yeah. Soccer hooligans.
Well, thank you guys so much. This has been Philip's Corner.
Thanks, Philip.
Thanks for putting me in the corner, Phil.
Are you guys ready to do some improv?
Yeah,
sure.
Let's do it.
Chris, you look exasperated.
I'm a little daunted by doing improv and without in front of a microphone. Next up, it's dusty in here.
Yeah, I fired the maid.
Why would you fire the maid?
She was looking at our magazines. She was reading our magazines.
She
in
was
her downtime.
Picking the magazines up and reading them while working.
She,
while like while she
I don't
was
think
supposed
she
to be
opened
cleaning
them,
the house?
But she was reading those sassy titles on the cover. That's all the entertainment most people get out of magazines.
Well, I mean, obviously,
and those are my magazines.
I know they're yours, sweetsies.
It says my name. It says Abby Dillingus
on every one
of them.
I know your name.
It does not say Lupe.
No, I know it doesn't say Lupe. But it's really
dusty.
That's
like stealing. That's like information. That's like white collar theft. She's stealing information from me, so I fired her.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Mm-hmm. So now it's dusty as hell in here.
Well, have you thought about getting a...
A new maid? Yes, I put out an ad, obviously.
Good.
Come in.
Hi, Mr. Reggie. Hi, Miss Abby. Sorry, it's me, Lupe, again.
Hi, Lupe.
Lupe.
I just figured after me being gone for a week, you guys might actually want me. This place looks terrible. It's so empty and full of cobwebs.
Lupe, you weren't. You've gone across a line that you can't get on. Get back from.
Yeah, it's over. Violated.
What exactly? The missus did not explain herself well when she asked me to leave.
They're her magazines.
Magazines?
They're hers.
Is that what this is about?
You touched the cover, the sassy covers of those.
Of course I did. I had to clean underneath. Did you see how much dust there was?
That's not the point. The point is that the magazines
are
my wife's.
What?
That's my intellectual property, Lupe.
You have stolen my wife's intellectual property. You have.
Yeah.
I would never do such a
You're
thing.
You're just like a hop, skip, and a jump away from identity theft.
Exactly. What's
my
next?
Name, I mean, my address
your
there.
Zip code.
Yes.
And all the, I mean, it also has all the other, you know, UPC labels that could be, you know, brought back to my wife's, right back to my wife's credit card.
This is crazy. It's not crazy.
You're crazy.
No. I mean, it.
Identity theft is a real thing. And my wife has concerns about you and it's your trustworthiness. And for that is a fireable offense. So
you don't have to keep me. I thought maybe
not. I you fired you a
me.
Week ago. Thought I would never see you again. It is so dusty.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to get a DNA sample from you, and you just made it easy.
Wait, what?
Thank you. Because I already had your DNA sample. Now I'm just going to get out of here.
Wait a minute.
Charlie, I need a new fishing boat.
Yeah, this one's got a hole. It ain't going to work this year.
It ain't going to work. I'm gonna miss the opener now.
I mean, how are you gonna? You can't afford a new fishing boat.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm a fisherman by trade. I need to get out there so I can make money to buy the boat.
Well, yeah, but the fish ain't coming in this year. You know, I mean, it's been dwindling. So I don't know how you could afford a new boat.
Oh, Charlie, I should have seen the writing on the wall. Why didn't you warn me?
I don't know. I guess I didn't. I wasn't aware of the situation.
I'll give you the boat that you need, but someday, and that day may never come, I may ask a favor from you. And when that day comes, and it may never come, I will expect that you do this favor without asking any questions.
Don Cornelius, thank you. You saved my career.
You're welcome now. Here's your boat.
Anything for you. This is heavy. How am I holding this up? All right, then.
It's a Lumacraft.
Oh.
You enter in the fishing contest? See a nice, shiny new Lumacraft.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
You better stay out of my side of the lake.
Oh, get out of here, Davey. Yeah. You know I never go into your side of the lake.
I like the weed area over here.
Yeah, I can't get this precious cargo trapped up in there. I'm not going to follow you again.
Well, that's good. You better stay out of my weedy section of the lake.
You better stay way out of my clean, fish-infested side of my lake.
I don't want your clean, infested fish lake part.
Yeah, because you're a dirty little fisherman, aren't you?
Yeah, dirty fish taste better. They got more flavor.
You know what I'm talking about. You stole my last catch.
I know I did. I swung by on my boat and just netted up your catch. You had it on the line.
Okay, cut. Terrence, this is the worst pornographic film I've ever seen you make.
Well, I was trying to go for backstory. I was trying to get a little life, a little liberties, a little pursuits of happiness before we just like shoved it in on the inside.
No,
you know?
I get it, but usually your double entendres have a lot of life to them. But this old dirty side of the lake thing, I mean, come on, it's not even playing.
It gets really good. It gets really good. They go to the dirty side of the lake, and there's like all these dildos in a tent, and they just like start using them on each other.
All right.
Just give it some time. Okay, give it the
Let's see the next scene.
Oh, boy.
I told you not to come over here.
I couldn't help myself. Seeing you over here.
Let me just unzip my tent, you bastard.
All right. Well, I'm going to...
You see this?
I'm putting my fish boat motor into overdrive right now. All right,
cut. Tear it.
No, you got to tell me.
Unzip my tent? What the fuck does that even mean?
It's a camping euphemism. It's a euphemism for zipping pants down in a tent.
Yeah, but if you unzip your tent out in the real wild, you're going to get mosquitoes in your tent. That's a terrible idea.
You know, you're right about the mosquitoes. Okay, it was an issue on set. And they didn't actually end up having sex. Everybody was swatting at mosquitoes, and then...
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Yeah, but it made very compelling footage that Discovery Channel is interested in. So I want you on the ground level here. I want you in.
So what you're saying is that we were able to get, like, a documentary of mosquito...
just jumping on people's genitalia, sucking, and I'm telling you... The blood that was drawn from Ronaldo's Yuhua was, it's seriously something. It's seriously.
Mark, get in here. This is the sexiest, most erotic Discovery Channel I've ever seen. Mark, get in here. Mark, you should be experiencing this with me, otherwise we're going
to
waste...
Just one second. I don't want the souffle to deflate. Okay.
Leave the souffle. It's been 3 months, and my blood is boiling with these mosquitoes. See blood.
Get Oh, coming.
Get in here. This is the most erotic documentary I've ever seen about mosquitoes.
Oh, honey. Mark, look at that. It's just like our honeymoon.
Right? When we went up to Alaska in the deep woods.
Those skeeters bit my dick off.
Made it so swollen. Biggest I've ever seen it since.
Let's make love right now.
Get on me.
Hold on. I'm going to get that souffle and incorporate it with our love making.
Okay.
It's a new recipe.
Don't puncture it. Oh. Keep it. Oh.
Unzip my tent.
All right. My porno movie's gone off the chains here. Terrence, I'm sorry.
I don't even understand what they're saying about.
Well, I was going for this introspective upon introspective, like this multi-layered sort of thing. This family watches the Discovery Channel porno, and they love mosquitoes, and they get off on the mosquitoes, and then they just get down and dirty with a souffle, huh?
I mean, I think it's a great idea, and you know, meta commentary is really in these days.
I that's what I was going for. I was going for the meta commentary.
But here's the problem: there's no good fucking.
Well, I mean, they get to it. It's a couple minutes. You know, you gotta. The souffle was too hot. They didn't want to use it, and everybody was backed off.
I've been gone. I'm back.
Just go. I can't look at your face right now. You think you can just waltz back in here?
Yeah, I
mean, okay, kids, we have about 2 more minutes before halftime's over, and then we have to get back out on the field. So whatever drama's going on here, I'll be out on the field.
Okay, thanks, coach. Yeah, I'm back. I'm going to lead us to victory.
No, I was going to lead us to victory.
You're my backup.
Tony, I'm not the backup anymore. You left. You left the field. You left the field to play. I step in now. That's my rights and my... And I am rightfully owed this quarterbackship. I'm rightfully owed it. You said, I don't want to be the quarterback anymore. You said, I don't want to do this anymore. You said...
I'm going through a lot right now.
What do you mean a lot? Oh. What do you mean? Your parents are getting divorced.
No,
sure,
it's not that.
Oh, it's not
I've got this. I've got this side business.
You got a side business?
It's really taking off.
What? See, your time, your focus is not where it should be. It should be on the field.
You wouldn't say that if you saw my pet grooming skills. That's right.
You're grooming pets on the side?
And I'm a savant at it. Well, I give them really funny dated looks. Like the kid in play fade. I gave this cat. It turned into a meme, dude. A fucking meme!
Oh my God. Well,
you gotta believe me. Check out my phone.
No. Oh God, look at that. That's really...
Yeah.
You did that?
Yeah, I did that.
How did you dye the cat's hair too?
It was a natural color. It's a beautiful
oh
cat.
Oh my God, pink.
Beautiful. I did that with one of those hair floopies.
A hair floopy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I found it in my basement. I've got a skill. Now just let me lead us to victory, please.
All right, I'll step aside like I always do. Go ahead. You can have... Here's the ball.
I really appreciate this. There's one
thing... I don't know how this is going to help your side business.
It's just going to help me close the door on this chapter of my life.
Oh, you need closure. You need closure.
I've got a lot going on right now, yeah.
Fine, close the door. Go out there and lead us to victory.
Hey, guys. The game just ended, and
who told us 2 minutes?
Yeah. I thought this was the 2 minute. We didn't get a warning or anything.
I gave you 2 minutes, but you guys have been sitting back here talking for the entire second half.
What? Oh my God! I could just talk to you forever. Yeah,
I guess. I'm sorry. We missed.
Did we win?
Coach?
Yeah, Jocko quarterbacked us.
Jocko!
Jocko! Where did Jocko come from?
Win! I led us to victory, guys!
Way to go, Jocko.
Way to go, Jocko.
I threw football! I ran with football!
All right, Jocko, why don't you go blast your lads?
Jocko, win!
You're on a plane. The wind is whipping by the ancient Arctic. It's a place where dreams can come true. All of a sudden, there's a crack in the ice below you, and you look down, you can see a great northern pike. It begins to howl and make a vicious noise. You know it's trying to communicate with you. What is it? What is it, Great Northern Pike? What do you have to say to me? Are you leading me? Are you telling me? Are you telling me that this is the correct way to go? I have no choice but to follow you. Thunk you on the head and eat you. See, this is what happens when you get stuck in the Arctic. Les Stroud here for Survivor Man. I am going to eat this fish raw and wriggling.
Mark, get in here. This is the sexiest episode of Survivor Man.
I've got to bake the Alaska in the kitchen in the
Mark
oven.
Is eating a fish raw. I was howling, and now he's eating. It's in his mouth. The juices.
Oh, baby, just like a honeymoon.
The juices start running down my throat, and I got to tell you, I can't. You can't imagine the rush of protein into my already charged body.
It.
Get on me.
Put a bobber on my pole.
Terrence, what the fuck?
I thought that maybe putting it in the Arctic where there were no mosquitoes would really turn up the ante on this porno.
Hey,
and
Terrence, I loved the Arctic part. I loved the screaming pike. But the middle-aged couple at home?
I mean, I'm going for the everyman quality. Sort of like everybody can get down and dirty on the Discovery Channel. Everybody in their own home, you know, it's like they just lay down on the rug and get it on with a souffle. I mean, I'm just showing what middle America wants. And they don't really want to see the P and the V. They want to just see, like, you know, the A and the D.
Okay. You know what? You've won 4 pornies in a row, so...
Just trust.
I'm going to trust...
Oh, Terrence, thank you so much for bringing me to the Porny Awards.
You know, this is a big deal for me, so I need you to, you know, keep it on the DL, all right?
I'll keep it on the double DL.
Yeah,
no, right?
Yeah. You got big kazungas. Okay, okay. Listen. If I win, I need you to jump up and down a lot behind me. Okay.
I will.
That's why I brought you here. I mean, you are my eye candy. Candy eye. That's what you are.
There's a man there staring at me.
Everybody stares at you, baby. You good looking. You know, you good looking. Teresa, come on,
talk
baby.
To him. Yeah, I know.
What? You want me to talk to him? You want what? Oh, you're looking for. Oh shit, you're looking for a gig. All right, yeah. Hey, were you staring at my broad?
Your broad has the best titties I've ever seen.
I
am mesmerized. They are so circular. They're like exactly what I draw when I'm drawing my version of a perfect woman. Just circles.
I understand that. I have notebooks full of circles and circles and circles.
Then you know what I mean.
I know what you're talking about. Well, you know, she's a performer and she is available. She wanted me to come over here. Teresa, she wanted me to come over here. She said.
Oh, if she has a name.
Well, Teresa, one-time Porny Award nominee.
No. Wow, that's a. What was the film? Maybe I've seen it.
Double Dutch Duty.
I haven't seen that. I've only seen the sequels.
Double Dutch Duty Do.
Part Do. Are you saying that I could hire Teresa here?
I mean, she's always for hire. Isn't that the truth, darling? I mean, is this the introduction you wanted? I gotta go find our seats. I mean, these awards are starting pretty soon. So, yeah, I'm only. Hey, if you two want to discuss, you know, contracts and all that BS, I need a cocktail.
Yeah, Teresa, let me write my number down for you. It's all eights and zeros, so it's easy for me to write.
Oh, we can write it on my perfect circles.
All right, I will. You call me. I'm gonna get you work in this new.
Thank you.
In a new film.
Thank you.
Okay, Terrence, not only are you starring in this porno, but there's not actually any sex in this one.
What is going on here?
This is what
America wants. They just want to see a man sitting. They want to see a man sitting on a chair in his living room with his shirt on, his pants on, his shoes on, his snow coat on. He's bundled up, right? And then he gets up, he walks outside, he gets the mail, and he sits back down. Everybody gonna get off on that, man. Let me tell you, the American public gets off on the mail delivery system.
Mark, get in here, the mail's almost here.
Just one second, honey, I got a Bananas Foster's on the burner.
I see the mailman come. The mailman's dropping it off next door, we're gonna miss our chance.
Oh shit.
Get
all right, here. All right, I'm just pouring in the brandy right now.
The mailman's walking past the front. Get on.
Peel that banana.
On.
All right, Terrence, that one was pretty good.
See, right, they get into the Banana Foster's and it gets all smeared all over the coat.
I think that was the problem. It was the previous dessert choices.
Souffles have never been a successful choice in the food porn industry.
No, well, I mean, it's so hard to keep them up.
Sure is cold out here. When the light disappears, it gets really hard to sit in the snowbanks.
Okay. So where do you want me then?
You can sit, you can sit, or you can stand. You should probably just stand.
I'm just gonna unzip my coat.
No. Leave your coat on.
So much better.
Oh my god, you've ruined everything. We gotta cut back. Come on, we gotta roll back. Put the coat back on.
Okay.
The American public does not want to see you undressed. They want to see you get dressed. That's what it is.
Okay, well, it was just much more comfortable that way.
You know, this industry is not about being comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
This industry is about giving the people what they want. So,
I thought we were just supposed to survive out here. Isn't that what we do?
Yeah, we're gonna give them what they want, and the dessert truck is gonna be up here shortly.
Oh, dessert truck.
Yep. And you're gonna need to smear it all over your face, and then you're gonna need to smear it all over your starter jacket.
That sounds great. I've got a faded Cubs jacket on right now.
So it's a
It is a nice coat, but it's going to get smothered in chocolate sauce.
Oh, that's okay. It's just the Cubs.
Oh, I don't know, Genie. This is one hairy collie here. This'll be... I mean, I can do it, but it's gonna take a long time. I mean, my clippers only go so short. You're not even giving much of a vision here.
Listen, I think the collie's, he's just... His hair's been growing for so long, and...
Yeah, we were thinking, could you give him a Bart Simpson?
Yeah, could you just sort of point up his hair on his head?
I can try. It's just so hard with him being a two-dimensional character.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is why we pay you to think outside the box.
Well, I tried giving a ferret the Marge, and it just didn't look right.
I would never put that on a ferret.
Yeah, why would you do that on a ferret?
Oh, you do not know. He is a genius. You can put a Mel Simpson on any animal, and it looks perfect.
Thank you, Claudia.
That particular ferret was impossible to work with.
But I don't like to blame the animals. I really try and, you know...
No, because you are a kind soul.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
I mean, you come very highly recommended. That's why we've come here. I mean, I'm really looking for a Bart Simpson on my dog for Halloween. Right? That's really what we're looking for.
Okay, well, I will...
The cat's already Lisa.
Right, that just happened.
Wait, who gave her the Lisa?
No, it was natural. It was a natural
just
thing.
Just a natural
Lisa cat hair colic kind of
deal. That's how
we
got the idea.
Yeah, it's like, we'll do the sister thing. And then we have this rat, Templeton, we named after the Charlotte's Web character,
right,
who has Maggie Simpson hairdo. And then we have
like a baby Lisa.
These are all natural haircuts?
Yeah, those two happen naturally. The rat just sort of...
Do you want this because you are so bold? You look like him,
yeah? Yeah, well, my husband
Claudia,
is bald.
That's kind of rude.
I mean, I have
a tall Russian hat. I was going to be Marge.
Okay.
I mean, it's a whole thing. We're going to this Halloween party, and they were like, come with your favorite cartoon.
And bring all of your animals.
And bring every single one of your animals.
Is it because you are also... fat and stupid like Homer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
I mean,
Claudia, yes. That's not very...
Well, Claudia's right.
I guess I don't understand the translation.
Oh, it must be lost in translation.
Must be.
No, actually, Claudia is right. We have such terrible imaginations that when we dress up, we just go as whoever is the most like us already.
Right. So. Wow. I don't need to invest that much. I just want to go into my closet and get my Halloween costume. That's what I'm doing.
All right, well, you know,
he works at a coal power plant. I don't know why we didn't just buy a dog that had a natural Bart do, but...
Well, the collie just kind of showed up on our door.
That's true.
Hey, dog. Hey. Yeah, you don't have a collar. You don't have a collar. Why?
Hey, that's my dog down there.
Hey, why don't you come inside real quick?
I'm stuck up in this tree, but that's my dog.
No. Come on inside here. Quick.
Don't take my dog.
You're ours now, doggy. And you will be part of our Halloween costume. Don't whimper. You're such a whimper McWhimper butt. See, there you go. Good dog. Don't lick me. Don't lick me, dog. Don't lick me. Don't. That's... Oh, God. All right. You bought in. You're in our family. Oh, absolutely. You're we're going to make you... We're going to make you Bart Simpson this year. Huh. Yeah, we're going to make you Bart Simpson. What do you think of that, dog? What do you think?
Excellent.
It's a nice doily.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Did you make it?
Thank you. Yes, I made it. During Christmas vacation, none of my family came to visit me, so I had a lot of time on my hands. So I watched an internet video how to make a doily, and I just spent my whole vacation making this.
I'm sorry I couldn't get back for Christmas.
It's okay. It's okay. I took care of everything by myself. I made my own dinner. I made my own doily to put my plate on.
Grandma, it's hard for us to get up here these days. I think it might be time for you to...
Oh, you... Time for me to what? Keel over?
No, I didn't say keel over. I'm just saying it's... You know, Christmases are difficult. I mean, if life gets in the way, we're... You know, it's hard to get...
Devin, you sell cotton candy.
Hey, Devin... Did you tell Grandma that we wanted her to die pretty soon?
Oh, my goodness.
I was just on...
Charmaine, why would you say...
Well...
Thoughtless.
We're not thoughtless.
My grandchildren are thoughtless.
We're not thoughtless. We just need, we need the dough.
We were thinking of you. You just seem so unhappy and old.
Yeah, and you're can't. You're
so wrinkled.
I made this doily. I'm having a great time. Yeah.
Let's be real, Grandma. How long did it take you to make the doily?
It took me all of Christmas vacation, so it took me a solid 5 to 6 days.
How long would it have taken you back in 1952?
I could have done it
in a day. It's time to let go of the past, Grandma, and it's time to just go. Well,
Devin, why don't you let go of your past and actually make a life for yourself?
I'm not going to make a life for myself. I have a fine existence in the basement of Mom and Dad's.
Of Mom and Dad's, yep. You're right. Oh, and if your father were here. Yep.
See, that's what I keep telling him, but you should still die. So.
Oh, come on. Charmaine,
you're
disrespectful. I don't know where you got that from.
Dad.
Yeah, have you met our father? You raised him.
Of course I did. I sent him to finishing school.
It's a mean streak. It's genetic, dude. It just runs through us. I just think it's time for you to
move on.
Move on.
To shed the mortal coil.
Yeah, get out of that shell. Let it go. Let your spirit be free. Oh shit! It worked.
Oh my god!
Oh god! Grandma, is that it?
Oh wait, is she giving birth?
Oh god! Oh god!
What the hell?
Oh god! It's a rat with a Maggie Simpson hairdo! Jesus Christ!
Terrence, what the fuck?
Just leave it like that. Is that 7 minutes?
That's pretty good.
It's not getting any better than
that. We peaked probably 20 minutes ago. So.
What are you talking about? Next up, Pat!
And that's our show. Thank you to Chris and Pat from Polar Bear Centric for stopping by.
Thanks everybody. It's a good time.
Very fun.
Good times.
And you can check out more from Polar Bear Centric by going to their Facebook page at facebook.com/PolarBearCentric. You can also see more of Polar Bear Centric at Huge Theater, currently performing on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. That's Huge Theater on 31st and Lindale in Uptown Minneapolis. And you can also see them coming up at
Huge Theater on Fridays at 9:30.
January and February.
And also another quick one, Deconstruction, Throwback Night at Huge Theater. I'm in close quarters, not Deconstruction.
Oh, damn.
Listen to me.
You can.
We'll see them all. They're great.
Yeah.
Throwback Night, Fridays in November and December at Huge Theater.
At 8 o'clock.
At
8 o'clock. And there will be three teams, 10 people each, doing one old school form of improvisation each, and Pat is on close quarters, which is one of my favorite forms, by the way.
Cool.
Philip, what do we have going on?
Well, you and I have one more cake batter show.
That's right, but it's to be determined now.
That's right. Damn you, Penn Teller.
Penn
Teller. I combined them into one person.
Teller's not his last name.
Pentel processing.
It's a processor. It's the release of this new high gadget.
But yes.
So yes, we don't know when it will be, but we have one more of those left. You can see me. I'm going to teach a drop-in class at Huge on the 30th.
That's right. What's it going to be about?
I forgot what it's called, but it's about speaking louder and also having more confidence. Because once I figure out how to do that, I'll try to let everybody else know also.
You got a week, dude.
What else? Oh, I'm in one more stage match this season over at the Brave New Workshop Student Union on November 8th. Matt, you're going to be over there again, right?
Yeah, I'll be over there a couple of times. I'm not sure if I'm performing anymore, but I will be coaching, and that's Brave New Workshop Student Union at 2605 South Hennepin in Uptown Minneapolis also. That's at 8 o'clock. Go see those shows. They're all good, fun, and funny, and they serve beer.
Oh, let me also say that I'm in the minor league at Comedy Sports now.
That's right, you are. That's awesome.
And so November 18th is a Monday. I'm going to have a showcase show, and you all have to come laugh at me.
With you.
What's the difference?
All right.
Always go to my YouTube channel, like Polar Bear Centric did, to see songs and videos and minimum fare. And send us a message on Facebook. Just find Next at Bat on Facebook and send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
Yep, and check us out on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. Rating and reviewing it, giving it 5 stars, helps us out a lot. Gets more people to hear this podcast, which a lot of people are actually downloading it these days. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, have you seen the map? There's like other countries.
Yeah, other countries. A lot of, like, we have a lot of play in Kansas.
Really?
Yeah, we do.
And like Finland and Russia.
Yeah, we do.
It's weird.
It is weird. So stay tuned. Next week, we're going to have Interplanetary Appeal. That's Jake Scott and James Rohn. And finally, our schedule's worked out. So the four of us have been trying to get together for quite some time. This is going to be a lot of fun. But until then,
praise Jaibosh.